Good evening, everyone. Welcome to worship on this Maundy Thursday. Would you be seated, please? Maundy Thursday effectively marks the end of the season of Lent as we now move into the commemoration of our Lord's Passion, Death, and Resurrection. And we gather on Maundy Thursday remembering the Lord's commandment, the Lord's mandatum, that we should love one another as he has loved us, from which we get our word Maundy. And so this evening, in obedience to the Lord's command, we will not only celebrate the Lord's Supper, but also will commemorate the occasion on which he washed his disciples' feet. A number of people have been appointed to come forward to do that. So if you're feeling squeamish thinking you're going to be asked to come forward for that, that's not expected. I do hope that as we enter into this time of worship that you'll find it an occasion of great remembrance and of contemplative prayer. This is the day that Christ, the Lamb of God, gave himself into the hands of those who would slay him. This is the day that Christ gathered with his disciples in the upper room. This is the day that Christ took a towel and washed the disciples' feet, giving us an example that we should do to others as he has done to us. This is the day that Christ our God gave us this holy feast, that we who eat this bread and drink this cup may here proclaim his holy sacrifice and be partakers of his resurrection, and at the last day may reign with him in heaven. Let us pray. O God, your Son, Jesus Christ, has left to us this meal of bread and wine in which we share his body and his blood. May we who celebrate this sign of his great love show in our lives the fruits of his redemption. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
A reading from 1 Corinthians. For I received from the Lord what I also handed on to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night that he was betrayed, took a loaf of bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body that is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he took the cup also after supper, saying, "This is the cup of the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you shall drink of it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." The word of the Lord.
How shall I repay the Lord for all the good things he has done for me? I will lift up the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. I will fulfill my vows to the Lord in the presence of all his people. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his servants. O Lord, I am your servant. I am your servant and the child of your handmaid. You have freed me from my bonds. I will offer you the sacrifice of thanksgiving and call upon the name of the Lord. I will fulfill my vows to the Lord in the presence of all his people. In the courts of the Lord's house, in the midst of you, O Jerusalem.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John. Now, before the festival of the Passover, Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart from this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, He loved them to the end. The devil had already put into the heart of Judas, son of Simon Iscariot, to betray him. And during supper, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands and that he had come from God and was going to God, got up from the table, took off his outer robe, and tied a towel around himself. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel that was tied around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" Jesus answered, "You do not know now what I am doing, but later you will understand." Peter said to him, "You will never wash my feet." Jesus answered, "Unless I wash you, you have no share with me." Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head." Jesus said to him, "One who is bathed does not need to wash except for the feet, but it is entirely clean. And you are clean, though not all of you." For he knew who was to betray him. For this reason he said, "Not all of you are clean." After he had washed their feet and put on his robe and returned to the table, he said to them, "Do you know what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for that is what I am. So if your Lord and teacher have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have set you an example that you also should do as I have done to you. Very truly I tell you, servants are not greater than their master, nor are messengers greater than the one who sent them. If you know these things, you are blessed if you do them. I am not speaking of all of you." When he had gone out, Jesus said, "Now the Son of Man has been glorified, and God has been glorified in him. God will also glorify him in himself, and will glorify him at once. Little children, I am with you only a little longer. You will look for me, and as I said to the Jews, so now I say to you, where I am going, you cannot come. I give you a new commandment, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also should love one another. By this everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." The Gospel of Christ.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Lo, I am with you to the end of the world. Lo, I am with you to the end of the world. Lo, I am with you. Lo, I am with you. Lo, I am with you to the end of the world.
During Holy Week, I always hearken back to something I heard or I read by Herbert O'Driscoll, a kind of Holy Week reflection where he takes on the voice of Jesus and he wonders out loud after their entry into Jerusalem and after all the excitement that his followers don't yet realize what is happening around them and how provocative their demonstration has been. And not understanding the trials and trouble to come, Jesus wonders to himself, "How will I help them get through this? What can I do to teach them?" According to Herbie, he decides he'll go gather them close and feed them with a meal to give them courage and strength, to show them who they are and whose they are, to fill their hearts so they don't lose heart. Jesus' journey, our Lenten journey, is about to get darker and harder. We enter the three chapters of Triduum, the Lord's Supper tonight, the Passion of Christ on Good Friday, and the Day of Resurrection, Easter Sunday. Wouldn't it be great if we could just hit fast forward and get right to the end, really a beginning, but we can't know the joy of resurrection without going through the hard and painful parts of betrayal, trial, death on a cross, which was intended to dehumanize, terrify, and warn off anyone else trying to challenge and change the status quo. Let us journey together on these last steps of Jesus' journey. Consider this image. It's a large-scaled, sturdy figures filling the space, huddled together shoulder to shoulder. And while the table around which they gather is rectangular, their formation is circular, suggesting friendship, intimacy, and solidarity. Or is their close proximity to one another suggestive of, let's say, the walls closing in as the authorities decide how to deal with the current goings on in Jerusalem, since they paraded into the city several days earlier? Is the shadow around them hemming them in as pressure mounts, or are they being enfolded in a holy, contemplative, restorative darkness? As we look in on the moment, there seems to have been a sudden break or crack as one figure departs through a darkened doorway. Or did they let the darkness in? Is the hand near their mouth holding their share of the bread being passed around the table, or are they covering their mouth in horror for what they're about to do? And do our eyes deceive us, or is there a faint shadow of the cross across the table? Is it meant as a foreboding of all that's about to unfold? Now, the other figure at the center, at the top of the table, who looks momentarily distracted with what has just transpired, his left hand makes it look like he's like eating popcorn and watching. The rest of the figures have one of two expressions, something like an inward gaze of introspective, wondering, praying, or an outward gaze the others have of affection or anticipation. One of them's even reaching out to grab his bread. But where's the person who's hosting the meal? Surely they would be of such stature and importance that they would have a prominent place in the scene. All we do see of them is a large open left hand and a right hand passing a chunk of bread from the broken apart bread in the center of the table. At the very foreground of the painting, in between these two hands, there sits a large cup filled with red wine, deep enough and wide enough to reflect back a most curious sight, the face of the one who serves, the one who has gathered this ragtag group together, the one who has led his followers to the place in which they find themselves now. We feel his leadership, the way he draws the group to him, and we hear his voice echoing through time. This is my body. This is my blood. Take, eat, do in remembrance of me. The painting called Communion is by a German artist and later a Roman Catholic priest, Sager Koder. He was a prolific artist who professed his vocation as he told biblical stories through his paintings, stained glass windows and altarpieces, and he called them his parables. His style is heavily influenced by his younger days as a German soldier during World War II, when he was captured and incarcerated in France and deeply affected by the war and the rise of the Nazi Party, which prompted him to join a Roman Catholic effort to stop them, and he was profoundly changed by the Holocaust. This sure isn't Leonardo da Vinci's Last Supper. These figures are folky, heavy, and earthbound. One would think that the meal depicted in the image would be enough, but Jesus is just getting started. Another image, Peter sits low on a stool, both feet in a basin of water, leaning in with his arm on Jesus, a sign of closeness and friendship and trust. But wait a minute, his left hand is raised, telling another, you can almost hear their conversation. You'll never wash my feet. Well, unless I wash you, you can't have your share with me. No, not just my feet, my hands, my head. We see the holy meal behind Peter and Jesus, illuminated by a splash of light on the table, but darkness and shadow enfold them. And here it is again, the star of the show, Jesus, this time with his back to us, his head covered in a prayer shawl, his face reflected in the water of the basin. This was way of depicting Jesus became a hallmark of Koder's style. The reflection hints at resurrection and shows respect for the Hebrew scripture notion of not being able to name or see God. It's as if the artist wants us to focus on the act, not the person. Again, we wonder if the darkness is foreboding or comforting or bringing into stark relief this moment that surprises and challenges Peter. Or is the dark around them suggesting the way Jesus is totally, utterly focused on one person at a time? No need to see the whole group, only the one with whom he is engaged right now, in the moment, in this intimate, loving act. The way they bend towards one another is tender. Jesus so attentive, so absorbed in the act that one might wonder if it might be considered quite disarming for Peter and the others. And isn't disarming what this act is all about? Jesus coming into his glory, as we heard in the gospel, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands and that he had come from God and was going to God, he got up from the table, took off his outer robe, and tied a towel around himself. The Father had given all things into his hands. Did Jesus just declare himself king of the world? Did he take his followers and install himself as the leader with, you know, his followers as his posse or entourage or his closest advisors? Did he overturn the Roman occupation? Did he go after everyone plotting against him? Move into Herod's house? Did he wash his hands of the whole affair and go home? Did he seek to elevate himself or empty himself? He took off his outer robe, tied a towel around his waist, and washed his disciples' feet. Full of love, he fed them. Full of love, he served them. A parting image to share. We'll have to see it in our mind's eye, though. It's a very sunny, cold January afternoon in a nearby church where there is a gathering, a celebration, a service of ordination. Everyone is taking their places. Little kids who are going to pour cups of water into the font are all lined up. Some may have been thirsty and accidentally drank theirs. Young readers accompanied by adult partners are ready, some with the crinkled papers from which they practiced all week. No, I'll just read from this instead of the fancy book. I'm fine. Parish musicians fill the choir loft, while Steve and a young adult group of camp staff take up space on the floor at the front, surrounded by drums and guitars and a cello. At the run-through before we start, there's a bit of negotiation about who's going to vest the newly ordained deacon. Well, there must be an archdeacon here somewhere. You asked who? Arched eyebrows. Well, okay. The moment came, and out of the congregation, tiptoed with a great sense of occasion, two little girls to whom the task had been delegated, and a third who they invited during the service to join them so she could have a job too, carrying, maybe dragging, a little bit, a well-loved, hugged, and perhaps tiny bit squished red stool. 4 and 6-year-olds are not very tall. I am. I crouched and bent down, down and down until they could lovingly slip the stole over my head. And in that very moment, it was as if time stood still. I gazed up into their smiling faces and their eyes shining. There wasn't a sound in the church. I could quite literally hear my heart beating. As I stood there, there was a moment when everything around us seemed to shimmer. And no, it wasn't a head rush from standing up too fast. Yes, the moment was sweet, maybe even cute, but the impact was profound. And as I, and I would wager others, realized that I had bowed and bent toward the people entrusted to my care, stuff was about to get real. I still see these girls frozen in time, even though they are grown women. And hopefully, not sentimentalizing this moment, it could serve as a reminder that when we take on acts of service, we do it without an agenda to empty ourselves of any notion of our potential elevation in the eyes of colleagues, family, and friends. Isn't she great? So giving, so selfless. To be respectful towards those we serve, to answer Jesus' call to his disciples, his followers, and to us. This new commandment, love one another. And let's not forget this place. We love here. We lean. We bow. We bend. We incline both literally and figuratively. Over a desk or a keyboard, writing a reflection or prayers or a homily. Over a music chart, written for choristers who will literally bend sound. Over a social media post, letting those beyond our walls know that we're here, God's love shining in us and through us into the world. Look over there at John Gardy. He's always huddled over his soundboard, joyfully broadcasting and recording this service for those who can't be with us in person. For those leaning in, inclining your ears right now, or when you have the time later, you are very much part of us. Some here lean over the kitchen counter making sandwiches for Project Hope, or over a hot stove making breakfast for community outreach and fellowship, or an ironing board or sink taking care of linens and holy vessels. Some put heads together to plan activities and events that bring us closer or inspire abundant living and giving to indwell London Community Chaplaincy at Southdale or Limberlost, and on and on. Some crawl through flower beds, digging and planting, tending and tilling our grounds to add beauty, color, and fragrance to the neighborhood. Some curl right up with a storybook Bible, opening God's word in wonder and playfulness for our young ones. Others crouch down to do a quick repair, pick up trash. We bend to set food donations in collection bags for our neighbor church, Epiphany. And we lean in close to a fellow parishioner, a stranger, a friend, as they share a story, perhaps bad news about their health, their struggles, perhaps their hopes and their dreams. I'm reminded of the words of N.T. Wright, who said, in the last days, Jesus did not give his followers a theology, he gave them a meal. Could this being a follower of Jesus' handbook be so simple yet so profound? What a meal he gave them and gives us. Take, eat, remember, remember, remember. Tonight, we have gathered in dimming light to hear our sacred story, pour water and wipe feet, say prayers, share the holy meal, and strip away our most beloved vessels and linens. As darkness enfolds us, may we be moved. May we find nourishment enough to nourish others. May we love one another, seeing the reflection of Jesus, perhaps not in a cup of wine or in a basin of water, but in each and every person we meet. May we know Jesus loves us to the end of the world. God be with us. God is with us every step of the way.
Fellow servants of our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night before his death, Jesus set an example for his disciples by washing their feet, an act of humble service. He taught that strength and growth in the life of the kingdom of God come not by power, authority, or even miracle, but by such lowly service. Therefore, I invite you who share in the royal priesthood of Christ to come forward that we may recall whose servants we are by following the example of our Master. Come, remembering his admonition that what will be done for you is also to be done by you to others. For a servant is not greater than the master, nor is one who is sent greater than the one who sent him. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them.
On this holy night, Christ invites us to dine together at the table and to love and serve one another. On this holy night, then, let us pray for the church and for the world. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. For the whole church of God, that it may grow in unity and servanthood, Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. For our congregation here at St. James, that in these holy days we may grow in love for one another and for all people. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. For all those in the worldwide church who will be baptized at Easter, that they may rejoice in their passage through death into new life. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. For all the leaders of the world, especially in the face of war in Ukraine, instability in the Democratic Republic of Congo, the incidents of modern slavery, and for all people, that reconciliation, peace, and respect for human dignity may overcome conflict, oppression, and violence. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. For the hungry in body or spirit, that they may be fed, Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. For those who are unhoused or at risk for homelessness, especially in the city of London, Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. For the sick and those who live with chronic pain, we remember especially Beth Brown, Patrick Conboy, Sylvia Brightwell, David Buckridge, Marilyn Austin, Emerson Muir, and Al McMillan. For those afflicted by COVID-19 and for their families, for the dying and all who mourn, that they may know the full extent of God's love for them. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We give you thanks for the privilege to gather around the table of our Lord, to which you invite us this evening. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for the work of this parish's selection committee, that its members may be blessed with the gift of discernment, and that you, O Lord, would bring a faithful pastor to this church. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. In thanksgiving for the saints and martyrs and for all the faithful departed who join us at the table of grace, Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. O God, into your love we commend ourselves and all for whom we pray, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Thank you.
Loving God, we spread this table to remember the loving sacrifice of Jesus Christ, your Son. Accept all we offer you this day. Bind us together in his love, and in the love he has commanded us to bring one another, through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
We give thanks to you, Lord our God, for the goodness and love you have made known to us in creation, in calling Israel to be your people, in your word spoken through the prophets, and above all, in the word made flesh, Jesus your Son. For in these last days you sent him to be incarnate from the Virgin Mary, to be the Savior and Redeemer of the world. In him you have delivered us from evil and made us worthy to stand before you. In him you have brought us out of error into truth, out of sin into righteousness, out of death into life. On this very night, he was handed over to suffering and death, a death he freely accepted. Our Lord Jesus Christ took bread, and when he had given thanks to you, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup of wine, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them and said, "Drink this, all of you, for this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this for the remembrance of me." Therefore, Father, according to his command, we remember his death, we proclaim his resurrection, we await his coming in glory. And we offer our sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving to you, Lord of all, presenting to you from your creation this bread and this wine. We pray you, gracious God, to send your Holy Spirit upon these gifts, that they may be the sacrament of the body of Christ and his blood of the new covenant. Unite us to your Son in his sacrifice, that we, made acceptable in him, may be sanctified by the Holy Spirit. In the fullness of time, reconcile all things in Christ and make them new, and bring us to that city of light where you dwell with all your sons and daughters. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, the firstborn of all creation, the head of the church, and the author of our salvation. By whom and with whom and in whom, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory are yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. As our Savior taught us, we are bold to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. We break this bread, communion in Christ's body once broken. Let your church be the wheat which bears its fruit in dying. If we have died with him, we shall live with him. If we hold firm, we shall reign with him. The gifts of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
God of life, bring us to the glory of the resurrection promised in this Easter sacrament. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ, the risen Lord. Amen.
God, my God, why have you abandoned me? Far from my cry, my words of pain. I call by day, you do not answer. I call by night, but find no rest. You are the Holy One enthroned, the praise of Israel. Our people trusted you. You rescued them. To you they cried, and they were saved. They trusted, and they were not shamed. But I am a worm, hardly human, despised by all, mocked by the crowd. All who see me jeer at me, sneer at me, wagging their heads. He relied on God. God will help him. Let God, who loves him, save him. Yes. You took me from the womb. You kept me safe upon my mother's breast. I belonged to you from the time of birth. You are my God from my mother's womb. Do not stray far off. Danger is so close. I have no other help. Wild bulls surround me. Bulls of Bashan encircle me, opening their jaws against me like roaring, ravening lions. I am poured out like water. My bones are pulled apart. My heart is wax melting within me. My throat is dust dry. Tongue stuck to my jaws. You bring me down to the dust of death. There are dogs all around me. A pack of villains corners me. They tear my hands and feet. I can count all my bones. They stare at me and gloat. They take what I wore. They roll dice for my clothes. You, Lord, do not stay far off. You, my strength, be quick to help. Save my neck from the sword. Save my life from the dog's teeth. Save me from the lion's jaws. Save me from the bull's is God. All who feel God, honor God, people of Jacob. Children of Israel, reveal God. The Lord never scorns the afflicted, nor looks away, but hears their cry. I will praise you in the great assembly. Make good my promise before your faithful. The poor shall eat all they want. Seekers of God shall give God praise.